When it comes to elections, election integrity, that is consuming so much of the oxygen in the room since 2016 election. But you and I, we spoke back in 16. I believe we did, and before the election, because you and I have talked on a number of different occasions. And you know, Illinois became, in some ways, a poster child, we'll say like 10, 12, 16 states that were a little more prominent when it came to hacking. You know, before I get to that, though, Matt, the euphemism hacking can be misused, and I think you would get this more than most.
Yeah. I think in a kind of a colloquial sense, what happened here is referred to as hacking, that we were hacked. But really, we have always referred to it as a data breach. Hacking, it really is when someone can break into your data system and damage it and change it, or you know, you call up a website that you always go to and it's totally changed and there's maybe inappropriate stuff there or whatever. Nothing in what happened with us in 2016 was someone was able to get in and view our online voter registration database. They weren't able to change anything within that database, but they were able to view it, and that caused problems. And the fact that they were able to find a way in, which as it turned out was a programming error on our part, which we fixed instantly once we figured out that they were in our system, and since then we've taken lots of steps to enhance our cybersecurity, both on the hardware and the software side and on the personnel side. We think that we are as prepared as you can be for the midterm elections coming up. We've had no incidents since then, and we started receiving scans from the Department of Homeland Security back in October of 2016, and those continue. Those are being done now by the Illinois Department of Innovation and Technology, which is the IT department for all of state government. We had a risk assessment from the Department of Homeland Security here in May when they were actually here in our building, and we have participated in a lot of information sharing programs since then. And in addition to that, we are just now starting to roll out our Cyber Navigator program, which is going to help local election jurisdictions, which is your local county clerk. The Cyber Navigator program will send people into their offices to make sure that they don't have any vulnerabilities to intruders in their online databases. It'll also put those local jurisdictions onto a secure network with us so that when we share information with them, it's not going on a network that we don't have control of the security of.
But still, we're looking at in 2016, 76,000 voter information was exposed. But you're saying we're good going forward. And once again, on this hacking issue, it was interesting, and I was reading some quotes from other people that, you know, there's a psychological component to hacking, and maybe that's one of the items that we should be talking about as well. And of course, the prevalent form of spreading that is social media, where you try to manipulate people. And when you've got the data of 76,000 people and you know how they vote, you can use information once you know who they are to manipulate them through social media.
Yeah.
And there's another way, providing you've got the time, man, resource, hours, and sure will.
But you have to, going back to that 76,000, that's the number of voters that we notified whose data we felt had been viewed sufficiently enough that they might be able to form an identity from it. What you have to understand about what happened in 2016 is that we suspect that a lot of those, the majority of what was viewed was a piece of registration data here, a piece of registration data there. You know, they may have seen a first name or a street number or a zip code, but they were not, it's not like they broke in and were looking at complete voter records right in front of them. This was all encrypted, and it took us a long time, it took a lot of analysis to figure out which ones they may have viewed sufficiently enough that they might be able to put, say, a name and a street address, or a name and a zip code, you know, something like that where it was legitimate. So what we ended up doing was notifying 76,000 people and telling them, giving them instructions about contacting the Attorney General if you notice anything suspicious happening with your personal information, and no one did. The AG's office did not get a single call based on that.
Right, and what we're talking about is the outcome, the actual vote tally, because the decentralized nature of the elections and how they're done by county, you'd have to hack every county, 102, how are you going to do that? Right. Well, I mean, that's kind of a built-in safety mechanism of sorts, right? Isn't it?
Well, it is. But another thing that's important to understand is what happened in 2016 had nothing to do with your votes, had nothing to do with voting. It happened in July, and was caught and closed. That had to do with our online voter registration database that we maintain here. What happens on election day at your precinct polling place? Those machines, the one that the tabulators that count your votes, that you put your paper ballot into after you fill it out, those are never connected to the Internet. So that is not a situation where you have a remote Russian hacker hacking in, stealing votes.
There's a good chance that's not true. And here's why. The manufacturer ES&S voting machine, the single largest distributor of voting machines, who had previously said they had not installed remote access software, admitted in a letter to the Oregon senator last week, we're talking about the largest seller of voting machines in this country, that they installed PC Anywhere into their systems.
I'm not as familiar with that, and I don't know that that's one of the vendors we use in Illinois.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, but they're the single biggest distributor of those machines, in particular from 2000 to 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And see, this goes underreported because, well, nobody wants to talk about it. And PC Anywhere, but there's still, I talked to engineers specifically on this subject, and he says, just because it was installed doesn't mean it's usable. You still have to have a modem or a way of connecting to the network. And if it's not connected, or it doesn't have a modem where you can, for instance, attach a cell phone and get into it from PC Anywhere, which you can do. I mean, this is off-the-shelf stuff, man. I've used it. And ES&S, this manufacturer, says, we installed it, and they had said previously they didn't, and admitting last week they did. In fact, they did.
Yeah, but really, going back to this, Tom, when you're talking about those machines in your polling place, there is such a huge security protocol for how your ballots are handled. And the other thing is, in Illinois, every vote has a paper trail. If all else failed on Election Day, we could go back and count paper ballots and account for every single vote.
Right.
And we do conduct a 5% random retabulation after every election throughout the state to make sure that those votes are accurate as they were cast.
And that's why we hear so much about certifying votes.
Right, right.
All right, now, overnight, early this morning, Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan, as part of a bipartisan coalition, 21 attorney generals, are asking congressional leaders to improve American cybersecurity and protect the integrity of the upcoming 2018 midterm election and elections to come against cyber attacks, infiltrations like the ones committed by Russians in 2016. Latest investigations into that attack show Russian hackers targeted the American electoral system, which you and I were just talking about, and stole the private information of hundreds and thousands of people. This according to the Attorney General's press report. Now, she talks in this letter that what they're urging do is prioritizing and acting on election security legislation. But number one on this list, they all are, by the way, number one, increase the funding for Election Assistance Commission. And the last that I had read, $13 million in federal funds, and Illinois had used a substantial portion of that from my reading.
That's what we got this year from the Election Assistance Commission. And what we are using that for is to create that Cyber Navigator program that I mentioned earlier. And the $13.2 million was a big help to us in terms of bolstering cybersecurity for Illinois. Most states use the money they got if they didn't already have a paper backup system, they were supposed to use that. The number one use of that money was for making sure that you had a paper backup for all your ballots. Illinois already, we've already had that for several years, so we put our money into cybersecurity now. That may sound like a lot of money, but if you call any county clerk in the state and ask them what they need to really revamp their voting systems and to replace that equipment that you use that we were just talking about on election day in the polling places, they'd need a whole lot more than that. And just by way of contrast, in 2004, Illinois got a similar grant the last time the EAC made one of these nationwide grants. Illinois alone that year got $144.4 million. Okay, this year we got 13.2.
Boy, that's quite a lot less, isn't it?
Now, when $144 million went a long way, we distributed that among the what was then 109 local jurisdictions, and they were able to totally replace their voting equipment. You know, and remember, this was in the wake of the 2000 election, where we saw the presidential election decided by a recount of, you know, in Florida they were talking about the hanging chads,
right,
and they had all this antiquated equipment. So there was a major effort to bring that end of the election system up into modern times. With our grant that we got in FY 2015 or FY 2005, we were able to do that, and county local jurisdictions throughout the state got up to date the best voting equipment they could at that time. But now it's 14 years later, so a lot of these clerks would really like to, you know, take out the, you can fix the brakes on a car and maintain it for a while, but after a while it's time for a new one. And
right,
a lot of the clerks are reaching that point where literally it's hard to keep these machines maintained. If you know, a tabulator breaks or something like that, it's hard to find parts for them. Obviously, with the new equipment comes new enhancements with, you know, we were talking about security, that sort of thing, accuracy, ease of use, reliability, all of those things. So we would like to, like Lisa Madigan says in her press release today, and as, you know, you've heard just about every public official saying this, we hope that more money is coming in the future. The $13.2 million may sound like a lot, and we're putting it to good use, and it's really going to help bolster our cybersecurity efforts to keep voter registration data safe and to make sure that malware doesn't find its way into you know, into any part of the election system.
Right.
But it's not the kind of a grant that's going to be able to just help county clerks wholesale replace everything that they need to replace.
Matt Dietrich is the Illinois State Board of Elections. You know, there's one thing that I've come across personally that has me a little bit concerned right now, and I think you too, and it's not necessarily malicious. It is the fact that I see election judge like election judges. I realize what they're doing all day, you know, for the integrity of the process, which is integral for our faith in government, which is undermined seriously at this point, and a lot of people for a lot of different reasons are doing it. The lack of election judges and people are willing to go spend their entire day at a polling place, I see that downstate is one of the problems that clerks are going to have to come to terms with, and they're probably going to need some type of monetary assistance to be able to up that pay for those judges.
Yeah, it's a long day that for $100, it's just not worth it for a lot of people, or, you know, whatever, various people can pay different things.
Right.
But that is a concern among the clerks recruiting the judges. You know, you're having a situation now where a lot of the longtime judges are just kind of aging out.
Right.
And they're having trouble attracting new people who want to get involved in the system. It's an interesting, fascinating job if you really want to see how things work face-to-face with the voters. You get a lot out of it.
Right.
But that is a problem, and, you know, getting more money toward that to pay them more would probably bring in some more people. But that is a concern that the clerks have.
Yeah, well, I think it's part of a wholesale problem. You look at the same thing with downstate volunteer fire departments. You take a look at organizations like the VFW, low and falling decline membership there. But in particular, these volunteer firefighters have been talking to me about nobody wants to, you know, come to the game and help out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's one component of a long list. But now, as we see people aging out and looking for alternate sources of income, granted it's only $100, but sometimes that can make all the difference in the world after you've had to have a yard sale to be able to sell your property, pay your property taxes in this state. Matt Dietrich, Illinois State Board of Elections. Matt, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Tom.